Welcome to Reformation Miami Ministries. The following is a rebroadcast of a sermon given by Aldo Leon, former pastor of Reconciled Church Miami, current senior pastor of Pinelands Presbyterian Church in Cutler Bay, Florida.
Our reading today is from Colossians 1, 16 to 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's reading of his word.
All right, let me pray and jump into our text. Father, we're thankful that Jesus is not just a topic for a month of the year, but every Sunday, every day of our lives is Christ-centered and Christ-driven. And so another December comes, but for us it's another Sunday where your Son is our hope, focus. And so God, I pray you would allow us by the power of your Spirit to see the beauty and supremacy of Christ, and that everything else would look utterly inferior to him, including ourselves. I pray that we would just be background noise in this service, and that Christ would photobomb all of our personal prominence, which is always competing with him. In Jesus' name, amen. All you guys look so wintry today, huh? You guys look like it's like 50 degrees or something, or 40 degrees. With your skull, like hats and gloves. I mean, come on. All right. So this is the last part of our series about Christ. We did one message on who is Christ. We did one on what he came to do. And then we did one on how. That was our Christmas Eve service. And now I'm going to go back and do one more who about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about the conversation at Colossae. This is a letter that we are reading out of. And they were thinking things like this. Christ takes us to heaven, but we need other things to kind of perfect us in the present. Christ defeated sin, but we have all these angelic powers and forces that, I don't know, we have to still do something about. So there was, you know, you see that in chapters 3 and chapter 2. And so that vacuum about Christ led to all these weird gaps being filled. And so they were, you know, saying you need Christ plus vision and heavenly experiences. You need Christ plus Old Testament rituals and ceremonies. You need Christ plus all these laws about avoiding this and avoiding that. We need Christ plus some sort of weird experience of sorts. And so basically, like, if I were to summarize the issue in Colossians, and even like I would say the issue now is, like, you know, we have Christ and we know he saves us, but like there's something we need besides Christ to perfect us. And I think it goes back to us knowing what Christ did, but not knowing who he is. I think we think less of the gospel because we don't understand who the Christ of the gospel is. We know what Jesus did, but we lack confidence in the gospel because we don't know exactly who he is. And so look, in the verses before I'm going to preach out of, it says in verse 13, he delivered us, that's Jesus, from the domain of darkness. I'm sorry, that's God the Father. He delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have forgiveness, redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul says, look, I'm going to tell you who this who is, and who he is not just a heavenly Jesus up in heaven, but he is not just heavenly, supreme, and important. He is the glory and the preeminence and prominence of everything in creation. So he's not just up there being important in some cyberspace of heaven. He is the glorious creation. He's the biggest thing on the planet as well. And so here's the thing. How glorious is Christ? How sufficient is he? Well, the first point I have to say is that he is glorious in the fact that he is creation's climax. He's creation's climax, the highlight. Look, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, when you hear this image, it takes you back to what? The garden, right? God made, God said, I want my invisible glory to be seen. And I'm going to be seen in my invisible glory through making a visible man. And he's the first Adam. And so Adam was the first image bearer who was over creation. He ruled over creation. He's made in God's image. And he says, now, Adam, I want you to image me. And I want you to extend my special sacred presence in Eden to the rest of the planet. And what is going on here is God makes his glory visible through Adam. And then God makes an arrangement with Adam, a covenant with Adam, a way to relate to him. He says, Adam, listen, as you keep my covenant perfectly and you obey perfectly, you image me perfectly, guess what? I'm going to make my glory visible all over the place as you perfectly image me and do what I say. But guess what? What did Adam do with God's image? What did he do with it? He marred it. He jacked it up. He made, and now all of us who are attached to him, we come in here not imaging God the way he should be, but we come here jacking up the image, right? We're like those dirty coins that people throw into the water to make a wish. You see the image, but it's all marred and jacked up. So the question is, where are we going to see the invisible glory of God made visible to us? And what Paul is saying, you see the image of God in Christ's perfect law keeping. He imaged God perfectly in 33 years of never not imaging God. And he kept God's demands. And he is the one who makes the invisible God's glory seen perfectly in him imaging it perfectly for us. This is where we see God is in Christ being the image bearer. And because he is the one who reflects God's image perfectly and he did it for us, that means that he is the climax of all things created. There is no one higher, no one loftier, no one that reflects the beauty of God in a way that compares to Christ. He is where we see God's image. If you were to take everything and everyone, everything that everyone has ever said or done, God would say, listen, I want to make my invisible glory known, and I showcase it entirely and perfectly and mostly in Jesus Christ. Listen, we see something of God's glory in creation. We see something of God's glory in marriage. We see some of God's glory in parenting. We see some of God's glory in all sorts of things. But God is saying is that where we see the beauty of God in creation is mostly in Christ. And beloved, you know what this means? You need to stop looking at yourself in the mirror. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror, and guess what? Stop with the latest 6 steps to improve your image bearing. All right. I don't know what they're doing in there, but it sounds great. Beloved, you see God's image not by staring at yourself and not by making yourself over spiritually with the latest spiritual image. You see the image of God in beholding it image in Christ. That's where you see it. You don't see God's image in pictures and manger scenes, statues. You see it in Christ. You don't see God's image in Hobby Lobby Christianity. You know what Hobby Lobby Christianity is? Hobby Lobby? Love, unity, virtue, justice, peace. Ah, yes. No. You know where you see God's beautiful morality? It's not in Hobby Lobby, hashtag phrases. It's in Christ himself. That's where you see the beauty of God. It is in a person, in a man who is God. That's where you see the beauty of God. But you know why there's so much legalism and you're ashamed of your image, and so you're always defending your image? You know why no one can tell you ever anything about something wrong with you, and you make excuses, and you throw a pity party? Do you know why you're always trying to remake your image in some new spiritual makeover? Do you know why? Why do we do that? Because, let me give you the illustration, because we have too much sun Christianity, not enough moon Christianity. You ready for me to explain it? Okay, the moon has no glory of its own. it only reflects the glory of the sun. It has, so when you see the moon shining, it's because it's reflecting the glory of the sun. Now, we think that we're the sun that reflects the glory of God, and so that's why we're so insecure, that's why we're so self-righteous and legalistic, because we have too much sun Christianity. But guess what? We are moons, beloved. God's glory is reflected in the beauty of Christ the Son, and as I am under the shadow of his image bearing, as I underneath him, he reflects his glory on me as the reflection of the glory, but never ever the image that casts the glory in myself. We need to be more like them rocks that have no glory to image God and reflect his beauty apart from it being in Christ, and then him casting his glorious image on us and us reflecting it back. So listen, how significant is Jesus? He's creation's climax. He is the place where you see the beauty of God like no other. But there's more to it. Christ is not just the climax of creation. Christ is also creation's cause and continuance. He started this thing and he sustains this thing. Look what it says in verse. Did I leave my water over there? Oh, I did. What's going on? Verse 16, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Now, in the English, it says, all things are made, created by him. But actually, it could be translated, all things were made in him. And I think in him is more appropriate. So let me give you a picture that may be helpful. What does it mean that God made all things in Christ? Here it is. And it's a picture. So don't say my pastor said that Jesus is an oven, okay? It's a picture, okay? But just think about an oven. A baker, a cook uses the oven as the means to bring about his creation. So think about it this way. God the Father is the architect, and he made all reality through his Son. He made everything through Jesus in creation, everything visible and invisible. So in Colossae, they're saying, hey, why don't you guys, you know, look to angels? And Paul's like, God made all the angels through Christ. They're saying, look to this and look to that diet and look to this. God made everything through Christ. He is the cause of existence. And not just the cause, he is the one who holds all things together continuously. So you know why there's gravity? Do you know why you have a pulse? Do you know why we are now rotating the way we are? Do you know why everything is existing? It's because it's all held together in Christ. Every molecule is held together in Christ. He is not just some spiritual savior that takes you to heaven some way. He is the cause and sustainer of all existence. In a bigger view of Christ. Not this spiritualized view of Christ, who's just in heaven taking people to heaven someday by grace. He is that, but he started all existence and he sustains all existence. So it's funny, like, you know, our tendency is always, okay, like let's trust the psychology talking heads, or let's trust the sociology talking heads about what is right in this world, what is wrong, and what needs to happen. Let's talk to the political talking heads. Jesus created and sustains every single human being. Why would you look to anyone other than him to trust anything? As a man writes on paper something, understand that your neurons are firing in your head because Christ holds all things together. If Christ would not hold and run reality in all of its details, every molecule, then everything will just evaporate. You trust people? Christ calls and continues all things. Oh, how about those rules? How about those regulations? Christ created and continued reality. You trust your feelings and emotions, your experiences? Christ made and sustains all reality. You trust angels, spiritual powers, You trust America and its political structure? Jesus caused and continues everything to exist. Trust the media? Oh, media, what are you going to tell us today? Oh, grand media. Trust the media? You trust the government? Are you putting your trust in who's in power? Christ created and sustains all things. Christ. Beloved, there's this text in the Psalms. Look what it says. Psalms 139:6. Your eyes saw me when I was formless, and all of my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. You know what that means? Jesus is the architect and orchestrator of every single detail of your days. And it says, when it says all things are held together, it's said in the perfect tense in the Greek, and that's just a way of saying that this is always the case. It's never, Jesus never said, you know, I'm going to tap out from holding everything together because I got some things to do. Like, he's always holding everything together. He's always providentially ruling over every detail of your life. Now, let's think about that in the moment we're in. We are scared to death for a million things, are we not? We're scared of a virus. We're scared of, some of you are scared to death of the government, of the last 4 years of government, and others of you are scared to death of the next 4 years of government. We're scared of police, and police are scared of everyone else. We're scared for our health issues that some of us may have. Some of you have health issues. We're scared because some of you have a marriage that is just awful, and some of you just are getting through a divorce. We're scared for a million things. And you know what? Like, the anxiety and panic attacks in America has like skyrocketed. Let me ask you a question. Who is the one who created all things and sustains every single detail of your life according to his glory? Who is that? Jesus. How would it look for you to not see Jesus just as some, oh, he forgave my sins and I'll see him someday and that'll be great and I'll have a harp up there. Beloved, he rules over every single thing that you are in. He rules corona. He rules everything. He rules every detail. He controls and holds it all together by his power. We should not be like everybody else, scared to death all the time, because we know that Christ is a cosmic Lord who runs reality. Every detail, every molecule, every single space of the planet is run by, held together by, the power of the sovereign King. He holds all things together. He runs all things, not just your eternal rescue. He runs all things. I think more, beloved, about the Christ who runs those in office, the Christ who runs corona, than corona those in office. Isn't that Christian, beloved? Yes, it is. God is the, behind the scenes, the ultimate puppet master. So I'm thinking, I know God, I know Christ sustains everything, and I'm going to look to the one who controls reality sovereignly by his power and not look to everything that he's puppeteering. Christ is the cause and the continuer of reality. Listen, Jesus did not tap out after he was raised and say, I'll see you later in heaven. He has been causing, he caused and he sustains everything by his power. Everything, not just good things, but all, you know, good and bad things. But guess what? He's not just the climax. We see the beauty of God. He's not just the one who caused and continues reality. He is the creation's conduits. Now, a conduit is just, you know, a pipe, you think about a breaker, so it's the way the energy comes through. It is a means, okay? So this mic is a means to bring about, it's a conduit to bring about power. Now you say, why would you pick conduit if you had to explain it? Because I wanted all my C's in my illustration. It's hard. I want you to try this. 4 C's, actually 6 C's, I think. So listen, let me explain why I'm saying he's not just the one who causes and sustains all things, but he's also the means by things happen. So look, it says in verse 16, it says, all things have been created through him. Now it's a different preposition than in him. It's different. So it's highlighting something different. And let me paint a picture to help illustrate. I'm gonna go back to the oven, okay? So Christ is not just the oven that God used to make all reality. Christ is also the heat, the power in the oven that caused the things to be created. He is the, so when it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, it's saying, listen, God, Jesus, is not just a blueprint for God to do things. Jesus is the blueprint and the blast and the power and the means by which everything was brought into existence. When you think, how did the sun come into being? Through the power and means of Christ. How did the ocean come into being? Through the power and means of Christ. Jesus is not God's wonderful idea, God's wonderful blueprint, God's wonderful whatever. He is God's power force to bring about all things in creation, angels, things visible, was made by the power of Christ. So people are like, hey, how about we connect with them angels a little bit, and how about we go back to, like, you know, the Old Testament ceremonies, and how about we do this, and Paul's like, listen, Jesus is the power that brought all things visible into existence, and so listen, we don't need no other heats to add to Jesus's powerful ability to do whatever he wants. Okay, listen. Jesus being the person who brings the power of things to happen, and you adding some humanistic heat, it's kind of like people in the middle of July in Miami who are turning the heat on in their cars. It's already hot. People adding humanistic heat to add to the power of Jesus is kind of like you going up to the sun with a lighter and putting it next to the sun. It's not necessary. And you know what? We as Christians, I say we generally, we always are thinking that Jesus needs some other heat to make things happen, right? Right? Get baptized again. Get slain in the Spirit again. Maybe that'll make things better. Oh, here's the next new 10 principles outside of Christ for you to become a, you know, better Christian. And or we say, hey, well, we need the fire. Here's a fire we need. Let's talk about everything that the culture's talking about, and let's find some Bible verses. That'll give some heat, right? So the culture's talking about Trump, let's talk about Trump. The culture's talking about Corona, let's talk about Corona. Let's get the heat and fire of cultural conversations, and let's find some Bible verses out of context to make it sense. Oh, you know what? Let's make a Disney-like worship experience where we have professional musicians who are all paid. They don't even know God, half of them. And we have choreography, and we have lights, and we have all of this fantastical performance-like things. Jesus needs some heat, right? Let's have these weird signs. You are home. You are never leaving here. Jesus needs some help. Right? Come on. I mean, let's talk less theology and let's be more practical and just talk about felt needs. We need some fire, some candela para cocinar. Jesus is not enough. Maybe if we convince a church to become activists, maybe that'll be the fire that gets things going. And Paul is saying that, but listen, Jesus is the power of God that makes all things happen by himself. Christ makes things happen, not people. Christ is a power that makes things happen, not rituals, not willpower, not political correctness, not political power, not protest, not positive thinking, not tradition, not ceremonies. Christ, beloved, Christ. He needs no other heat, no other flames to do his thing. He is the one who caused, created, and is the force that brought about all existence. I want you to think about this. I want you to go to the beach and you see that 2/3 of the earth is covered by this and think, Jesus is the one who brought that into existence and he keeps it in existence. And then go over here and think about all those extra things, all the extra flames that people want to add upon Christ to make things happen. Beloved, I think what Paul was trying to say is, like, Christians are arguing about this thing in creation being more useful than this thing, you know, these facts versus those facts, this candidate versus those candidate, this for that. Christ is the power, beloved. And he's not a power, he's a person who has power. Let me ask you a question. If Christ is the climax of creation, if Christ is the one who caused and continues everything, if Christ is a conduit, who else should we talk about here on Sunday? Is there anybody else we should talk about? Do we have somebody that is colossal and cosmic enough to always be the subject? Men's ministry, women's ministry, Bible study, preaching, Christ. Is there anyone we should talk about? Anyone? Anyone? You? Then why are we so obsessed with talking about ourselves and embracing the Christian that's all talking about ourselves and our humanistic categories? Why? We have found somebody who literally is so magnificent that we don't have to go anywhere else for anything. Jesus is not just some spiritual guru up in heaven taking people to heaven someday. He is the cause, the sustainer, the conduit of every single thing that you have ever seen or even not seen. You know, I like what Martin Luther said, that the devil is God's devil. God made the devils, and guess what? God uses the devils for his purposes, which is why it's so silly for Christians to become obsessed with devils. The devil is God, devil does what God wants. He's on his leash. But here's one more thing. You know what? It's amazing because I'm thinking, like, I'll wear long sleeves and everything, and I'm not going to get hot, and I'm so hot. Oh, well. Here's the last point. How glorious is Christ? He's creation's case. There's my last C. Case. Reason. Purpose. Goal. All things have been created. See that? See, there's the last C. All right. All things have been created through him and for him. Meaning, like, he didn't just make all things. He made everything. Everything was made for his glory and his purpose. And so, check this out. You know why heartbeats exist? You know why you have DNA? Do you know why there's reproduction? Do you know why there is sunshine and moon? You know why there's food? Do you know why there's marriage? Do you know why there's jobs? Do you know why there is land, air, oxygen? Do you know why there, you get the point? You know why all those things exist? For the glory of Christ. This is going to sound crazy. This rock exists for the supremacy of Jesus. There is nothing in creation that does not exist for the supremacy and goal and priority of Christ. Nothing exists. Everything has a goal in Christ. All things were created for him. And so it's kind of funny. Like, so the false teachers in Colossae were like, hey, angels. Paul's like, the angels are made for the glory of Christ. Who cares about them? Old Testament ceremonies. The whole Old Testament ceremonies were made for the glory of Christ. Those things existed for the glory of Christ. Why do I need to go back to that? Oh, you know, like this thing or that thing or this person or that person. Beloved, everything exists for the purpose of Christ. So listen, let me say it this way. Christ, Christ does not exist for your marriage. Your marriage exists for Christ. So I can see everybody. Christ does not exist for your family. Your family exists for Christ. Your emotions and feelings don't exist for your emotions and feelings. Your emotions and feelings exist for Christ. Your money, your ability, your resources don't exist for yourself. They exist for the supremacy of Christ. Your health is not for you to be healthy. You have health for the supremacy of Christ. Beloved, Christ is not, listen, Christ is not one purpose and goal amongst many. He is the only purpose and goal of all existence and eternity. Everything is Christ. It's about Christ. He is the purpose. He's not also the means to you to find some greater purpose and use him for that. Jesus is not a mascot for some other purpose. Jesus is God's final purpose. He is everything. So let's make some connections here. Pinelands. Pinelands does not exist for its members. Pinelands exists for the supremacy of Jesus. Make sense? You know what happens to us when we go to church? And we go to church for a while, and we start acting like this is our church that exists for our preferences and our likes. But beloved, this is not your church. This is not my church. This is Christ's church, and it's all about him being famous and awesome, not about us getting what we want or getting what we like, right? What about evangelism? What's the purpose of evangelism? Oh, I really want these innocent people who, you know, are going to hell. I really want them to go to heaven. Is that the purpose of evangelism? The purpose of evangelism is that Christ deserves the glory and honor of rescue. The Lamb was worthy, and his worth drives us to evangelize for the supremacy of God, not for the supremacy of man. Why do we have Bible studies, and why do we have, you know, classes, and why do we have kids ministry? Because everything is about the supremacy and goal of Christ. And here's the thing. One of the things that I realized as a person who's been alive for almost 40 years now. When I turn 40, you can stop calling me young man. I'm just joking. I'm actually almost 40. All right. We all need a purpose. As humans, we need a big purpose to live for. And let me rewind and give you like a personal story. I don't do personal stories a lot, but I can do personal stories. So I remember one time, I was in a nightclub, and I had drank a lot, and I had also used marijuana. And when you bring those things together, like, you know, you tend to feel good. And I went into a nightclub, which is one of the nicest nightclubs in DC. You know, music, lights, girls, all that stuff. And it was so strange. Like, you know, like you have those movements where everything seems like it's really slow, and you become slow motion. And that's what happened to me. I was like, all these people are miserable. I'm miserable. Half these women don't look the way they look. They're not as happy as the way they are. They're just lit. And the people that are singing songs, half the things they're saying have nothing to do with reality. They're just saying things that have nothing to do with reality. And so I walked out of the nightclub, and I sat down on the curb, and I started sobbing uncontrollably. And like this dude walked by, he's like, "Yo, man, are you crying, man?" Like, and this is like, this club was like in the hood, you know. And so like I had like hood people looking at me like, "What you doing? You're crying? Like, I'm gonna take your wallet or something, you know?" Like I was, I'm good. I just, you know, whatever. And I remember thinking in that curb, I'm so miserable because I don't have any real ultimate reason to exist. And then comes Christ. Now you know why you have a heartbeat. Now you know why you have a pulse. Now you know why you have DNA. Now you know why you have breath in your lungs, for the supremacy of Jesus. And listen, we all need a grand reason to live, a grand great commission reason to live. And let me tell you what we're not made ultimately to get our ultimate itch scratched for. Now, before I say things and then I get an email from you saying, "Why'd you say that?" Let me give a qualification. None of these things are bad. None of these things are wrong. As a matter of fact, most of them are fairly good things. What I'm saying is your itch to be scratched about something supreme and prominent will never be scratched by this. So you ready for me to scratch off the things that are not that? Okay, number one, you don't live for the corona pandemic cause. You're not going to get your eternal itch scratched by make playing your part in corona. Now you're saying don't play your part. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the grand cause for you to feel like you matter is not pandemic related. Your grand social is will not be recycling and a green earth. Are you saying that you're one of those people who just says, "Oh, I just"? No, but that's not going to scratch your eternal itch. Let me give you another example. combating against the social, a socialist America is not where you're going to scratch your eternal itch. Not you saying we should not be concerned about socialism. I'm saying that is not your ultimate cause. It will never be your ultimate cause. Because it's not Christ. Healthcare, economy, protecting American freedoms and liberties. Those are not grand causes that are going to scratch your grand itch for grandness. Is there anything wrong with these things? No, but beloved, these are not your sense of, I must be a part of something really big. It's Jesus. And you will not find this on CNN. You will not find this on Fox News. You will not find this on Newsmax. You will not find this or hear this in universities. You will not hear this on Facebook. You will only hear this in the sacred scripture. Okay, all right, fine, Pastor. I consent to you. The ultimate cause and goal of reality is Jesus. What does that mean? Well, we can just read the rest of the verses and see what Paul says after he says that. Look what he says. And I'll make a commentary. So he says, look, in verse 18, he says, he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So basically Paul's saying, okay, what does it mean for us to be about Jesus' ultimate causes? It means that Jesus is raising dead people and attaching them to himself in fellowship. That's what I mean. He's the firstborn from the dead. So is that a big deal? Jesus has a cause and purpose of glorifying himself through raising people from the dead? Because listen, what does the Bible tell us? That we're spiritually dead, right? You're not just spiritually limited. You're not just spiritually having a bad day, a cough. You are spiritually dead apart from Christ. And so what is God doing in this world? He is raising the dead and attaching them to Christ. And people be like, what do you guys do in church? You know, what are you guys about? You know, well, I'll tell you what. We're not about potpourri and corpses. You guys understood that? Do you care about this world? Listen, people are dead, and all you can do apart from raising them from the dead in Christ is potpourri their flesh. Now, listen, we have a unique call to glorify Jesus, not by potpourriing dead bodies and making them look like they have skin tones that are not dead. We have the power and call to raise dead people by the power of the gospel. That is a great cause that God is doing. Look what else he says. But we don't do anything in church, right? We just do that. That's just it. You guys just bring dead people to life through the preaching of the gospel. Well, okay. Look at us, Paul says. And to reconcile all things to himself. God is glorifying himself. Christ is glorifying himself through bridging the gap between us and God. Listen. This is one thing I find interesting about the culture. They don't realize that their problems are not with each other. Their problems are with God. Listen, the reason why we hate each other, the reason why we attack each other, the reason why we hurt each other is because we all have God problems and we work them out horizontally. So if you love God, you love your neighbor. If you hate God, you hate your neighbor. We have God problems. And God is bringing reconciliation. How does God glorify himself through reconciliation? Through, what does it say? Through the blood of the cross. He made peace how? Through the blood of the cross. What kind of peace is the church advancing for the glory of Jesus? The human hashtag peace? Is that what we do? Is that the kind of peace we bring? The kind of, you know, global, you know, kumbaya peace, let's all just love each other peace? The humanistic peace that is about more structures and rules and whatnot? Is that the peace we bring? No, beloved. We bring the peace of the cross, of the blood of Jesus, the peace of forgiveness, the peace of rescue, the peace of grace. That's what we bring about. Everything else, beloved, is false peace. The only true peace that people have is the peace that comes from the blood of Christ. Look at us, he says later. And you were once alienated and hostile in your mind, continuing the conversation. He is now reconciled in his body of the flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. So what are we doing? We are by the power of grace, we are making people presentable before God to please him in his sight, which means that we are not about making humans impressive with each other. We're about making sinners impressive before God as they are in Christ. If I were to summarize, everyone here is, even though we're a range of age, everyone here is on Facebook, right? Most people are on Facebook. Rick's like, no, I'm too virtuous for Facebook. you know what I know is about, you know what Facebook is? It's a bunch of people just presenting themselves as better than the other person or the other group of people. You know? Is that fair to say? I'm better than you stink. But Christianity is us presenting people as pleasing and agreeable and blameless before God in Christ, not us presenting ourselves as presentable amongst each other. So here's the last thing I'll say about what does Christ call us to do for his glory? Look at Paul says in verse 28. He says, we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that powerfully works in me. So how many women here have had babies? Come on, man. Everyone here's had a baby. I feel like everyone, almost everyone here. When you have babies, when you're doing labor, now unless you're Nancy, maybe she's the exception. Santi told me that Nancy was like, you know, doing like all sorts of stuff while she was, you know, in labor. But if you're like most women, like my wife, you do nothing other than that. You have no space for anything else, right? The word that Paul uses for I labor for the gospel is that word of used in scripture to talk about birth pains and pregnancy. It means Paul's saying, listen, I have no energy as a man of God for the gospel to do anything else. I exhaust all of my energy, all of my might, all of my power. It goes into the birthing of the supremacy of Jesus in the souls of men. I have no space to go for anything else. So what does it mean for us to be about the purpose and supremacy of Christ? It's these things. Paul says, I have no energy for anything else. It all goes into this. So how glorious is Jesus? He's creation's climax. He's the cause and continuer of reality. He's the conduit that was the power that brought everything through. And he's also the case, the purpose. Do you think you can get stuck on him the rest of this year? Do you think you can kind of keep going back? Can you? Can we get stuck on Jesus? Can we not get over Jesus? Can when people tell us, get over Jesus and let's move on to something else, can we say, no, please? Let's do that. Father, thank you so much for giving us a vision of Christ that is heavenly and earthly, that is salvific and also just in everyday life, that is beyond creation and in creation, that is so massive and so large. Father, help us to just exalt how awesome your Son is and to trust him as the creator and the redeemer. Help us, Lord God, to not get over him. Help us to just be fixed on who he is and what he did. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our broadcast, and we hope you were inspired by it. If you'd like to know more about Reformation Miami Ministries, be sure to look us up on the web, reformationmiami.org.